Christmas. And one of the most common traditions during Christmas time is to read the famous story, "Twas the Night Before Christmas," right? And so today what we want to do is put a little bit of a local spin on this classic story. So joining us on video are going to be two very special local uncles, local bradas in our church who would like to share this famous story with you. So watch this.
How's it, everybody? My name is Uncle Hank Hashimoto.
And I'm Kovika Haole Okalani Bar.
And I live Papakolea.
I stay Kahuku. They call me the Ehu from Kahuku.
Yeah. And so, in Hawaii, we get our own version of the story, "Twas the Night Before Christmas." However, we're going to tell them to you today in Pidgin.
Yeah. We call it, "Was the Night Before the Kind Christmas When Come."
Was the night before Christmas, and all over the place, not even the geckos was showing their face. The stockings was hanging on top of the TV, 'cause no more fireplace here in Hawaii. The kids, they all crashed, my old man too. Oh, they leave all the dishes for you know who.
So me, I stay picking up all of their toys, when boom, outside, I hear one big noise. So I run to the window, and I open them up, and I stick out my head, and I yell, "Hey, what's up?" And then, I no can believe what I seen. Was this big howly guy with reindeer. You know what I mean. So I wait till he all pow, tying up his reindeer. Then I yell out of the window, "Oi, brah, over here."
And I tell him first thing when I open my door, "Hey, hem with your shoes, brah, but you dirty my floor." He take off his boots, and he say, "Hey, you know who I am?" And I say, "Ho, brah, from the smell, you must be Mr. Toe Jam."
But him, he no care. He just smile at me, and he start putting chalk presents under the tree. But when he all pop, I tell him, "Hey, Santa, try wait. I get plenty leftovers, bruh. I'm gonna make you one plate."
But he never like stay. He had so much for do. Gotta make all them cakey's wishes come true. So I wave him goodbye, and I flash him the shaka. And I tell, "Hey, brother, mele kaligi maga."
And when he hear that, he stop, and I'm telling you the truth. He goes, "Garings ba bearings, brah. Merry Christmas to you."
If you're new to New Hope, my name is Dave, but
you can call me Kavika.
Excuse me, I just winked at one man. Sorry, brother, sorry. Hey, before we dive into the Christmas message, I just want to welcome all of you at our different locations. And today's real special for us because we have our New Hope, Windward, and Kailua people who have come over here to celebrate Christmas with us. And so, New Hope, would you join us, all of our locations? Just welcome your church family. We're so glad you're with us, especially those of you from Kailua. Welcome back to being with us, you guys. So welcome to Christmas and New Hope, and that story that Hanzo and I just read talks about the Christmas season. At all of our locations, by show of hands, how many of you enjoy the Christmas season? Go ahead and lift your hands up if you enjoy the Christmas season. Yeah, you can put your hands down. Me too. I love the Christmas season. I love the Christmas food. I love Christmas music. I love Christmas movies. How many of you like Christmas movies? You like Christmas? Wow, many of you. I want you to think about what your favorite Christmas movie is. And then on the count of three, we're going to just shout it out, okay? So at all of our locations, get into your mind what your favorite Christmas movie is or one of your favorites. And then I'm going to count 1, 2, 3. You shout it out, okay? All of our locations, ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay. Star Wars is not a Christmas movie, all right? Just want to be real clear about that. So yeah, I love Christmas movies. And I also love Christmas lights. And one of the Barr family traditions is on Christmas Eve, we load up the car with our kids and we drive to Namoku Street in Kaneohe, which many people refer to as Christmas Lane. Now let me show you, if you've never been there, why they call it Christmas Lane. It's because almost every house on the street, almost every house is elaborately decorated with lights. And we're not talking about a little bit of lights, but a lot of lights. And so these are just some of the homes. And I was thinking about it this week. Wouldn't it be a drag to live on this street? Can you imagine the pressure the neighbors would put on you to like put up choke lights? You know? And so I was reading the story. This is a true story about a guy in Illinois. His name is Chet. And Chet goes pretty full on when it comes to decorating his house for Christmas. So let me show you Chet's house. So this is what he does. He puts up a lot of lights and Christmas decor. It takes him 4 days to put all this up. Well, next door to Chet is his neighbor, Dave. And Dave didn't have 4 days to put up lights. So here's what Dave did. If I lived on Christmas Lane, that's what I'd be doing right there. Ditto. So I love Christmas lights. Isn't that great? But there's another thing that I enjoy during the Christmas season, and I just recognized this recently, but I like Christmas nativity sets. And I was thinking, I was like, why do I get kind of nostalgic when we pull out our nativity set? And I thought, well, one of the reasons is because it reminds me of my childhood at Christmas time. But the other reason I like it is that it reminds me of what the Christmas season is really about. It reminds me that the Christmas season isn't about crowded malls, Santa Claus, gifts, and all of that. It's about the birth of Christ. And so what I want to do is, because I don't know about you, do you ever sit there and go through the holiday season and you're like, I have hardly thought about God through this whole season. I have hardly even thought about the birth of Christ. I mean, that's happened to me. And so what I want to do is I want to refocus us on the very first nativity. And so I want to take us back over 2,000 years to refocus us on the real reason for this season. And so it happened like this. Mary and Joseph had not had a baby yet. And so the Bible says Mary was obviously pregnant. And so she was probably full term, probably 9 months pregnant. And it says in scriptures that she had to travel 70 miles on a donkey to Bethlehem. Now, ladies, stop and think about this. You're full term, 9 months pregnant. Would you want to travel 70 miles on a donkey? No. Let me tell you, my wife, we have 3 kids. And for every kid, when my wife went into labor, she wasn't like this. Hey, Dave, fetch me a donkey so I can go to Kapi'olani. You know, she just didn't do that. You know what my wife said when she was having contractions? She's like, give me an epidural before I kill you. And I thought she was going to. No. And so, you know, it was just a very difficult time for Mary and Joseph. And then you kind of fast forward the picture as they arrived to Bethlehem. They couldn't find a place to stay. So they go to the hotel and there's no room for them there. The no vacancy sign is up. So the only place for them to stay in was an animal barn. So Jesus was born in a barn. Have you ever heard the phrase, hey, were you born in a barn? Jesus would say, yeah, I was born in a barn. And I want you to put yourself in that scene. So ladies, you're delivering your very first child and you're in an animal stable. And there's a donkey right next to you while you're having contractions. And he's going, yaw, yaw, yaw. What a scene. It's smelly, it's stinky. And I thought about it, man, those are not the conditions I would expect God in flesh to come into the world. And then there was no doctor to deliver them. There was just Joseph. And as Jesus was born, they handed, or he somehow either was handed the baby or helped deliver the child. And just imagine this carpenter who has rough, calloused hands holding God in the flesh and laying him in a cradle in a manger. Do you know what a manger is? Man, when you look at this scene, you're like, oh, a manger. So cute. Let me tell you what a manger is. It's a feeding trough for pigs. Ew, yeah, right. Yeah, it's an animal trough for food. And so the King of Kings is placed in an animal feeding trough that was unsanitary and dirty and disgusting. Again, not the conditions that I would think the King of Kings would come into the world in. Now, I want you to think about this. So why would Jesus leave the highest of highs, his throne room in heaven, and come down to the lowest of lows into this world through an animal stable? Why would he do that? Because he was in essence saying this: I will go any distance to come to you. I will do anything it takes to have a relationship with you. And so Jesus was born in those conditions, and he proved his love for you by that alone. Well, then Jesus grows up in a small town called Nazareth. And Nazareth looked like this in some way. And I did some research on it. Nazareth was a small town of about 300 people spread out over about 10 acres. Really small. And it was one of the few cities in the day that had no sewage system. So this King of Kings grew up around stinky outhouses. Then he grows up, and you know the story. At age 33, his arms get stretched, nails get hammered into his arms, his wrists, and he hung on a cross in excruciating pain. And on the cross, he was saying, with his arms outstretched, he was saying this: I would rather die than live without you. I would rather come into this world however and whatever it takes to be with you. That's what Christmas is about. You see, God came at Christmas because he wants you to come to him this Christmas. He wants a relationship with you. And Christmas proves it. The Bible says it this way in 1 John. It says, God showed how much he loved us. How? By sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life in heaven through him. This is what kind of love? This is like real love. He loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. And so he loves you. He wants to forgive you. That's why he came. That's what Christmas is about. So Christmas is about God coming to you and you coming to him. He wants a relationship with you. Not a religion, but a relationship. Religion will mess you up. Religion is about rules and regulations and rituals. Relationship is about fellowship, community, being in relationship with your divine, eternal Father. And so that's why he came. So how do you have a relationship with God? We kind of complicate it. We think, oh, it's so hard to have a relationship with God. It's actually quite simple. You just come to God daily, and you come to church how often? Weekly. It's real simple. You come to God daily, you just talk to him. You allow him to lead you. You allow him to be your Father. And then you come to church weekly. That's how simple it is. Now, I was thinking about why do we struggle coming to God daily and coming to God weekly? Why do we struggle with that? Well, for me, the moment that I turned 18, I left the home and I stopped going to church. The only time I go to church is at Christmas and Easter. I mean, that was pretty much it. And the few times I did go to church, honestly, I just felt really out of place. I felt like, man, I do not belong in a church because I know how much I sin. I felt like I'm a sinner surrounded by saints. And so I avoided Jesus in the church because I felt disqualified. And if this is your first time to church in a long time and you feel out of place because you feel like we're all good and you're not so good, don't let these pretty faces around you fool you, because you are surrounded by some big time sinners. I mean, big time. And many of us have a very colorful past. And so you don't have to clean up your life before you can come to God and come to church. No, this is how it works. You come to God, and then he starts to clean up your life. See, we think, okay, I get my life all cleaned up, then I'm qualified to come to God and come to church. It doesn't work that way. You come to him, then he helps you to clean up your life. Here it is. As much as you're willing to allow him to clean up your life. And that's why, by the way, if you're sitting there going, well, I know a lot of people go to church every week, and they ain't changing much. And that's because a lot of people don't let God really change their life. They'll allow him in a little, but not a lot. So he's not going to force his way into your life. You just come to him daily, come to church weekly, and then allow him to lead your life. And as you do that, he'll clean up your life. And so back then, before I was in a relationship with God, I would pray on occasion. And the times I would pray the most is when I was watching the sports team playing a game, and it was like my favorite team. And if it was like, oh, if my team can score these points, they're going to win, I would become very spiritual. And I'd just start praying. I'd say, oh, God, please help my team win. Oh, God, if you help them win, you help them get a touchdown, I will do whatever you ask me to do. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that for your team to win? No lie, you have. You have. And it kind of reminds me of the story of this guy, and he was going Christmas shopping, and the mall was really crowded. So he's driving around, he can't find parking, he's going all around, not an empty parking space available. So he's starting to get frustrated. So he looks up towards heaven, and he says in his car, he says, God, if you open up a parking space, I will follow you every week. I'll come to church every week, every Sunday, for the rest of my life. And I will never drink another drop of alcohol. And right when he said amen, miraculously, this car backed out in front of him, opening up a space. And he looks at it and he goes, never mind, God, I'll find my own space. And honestly, I can relate to that story, because before I had relationship with God, I thought if I come to God, I'm going to have to give up all the fun in my life. I'm going to have to give up everything. And I would have been just like that guy. Never mind, God, I get him. I'll go find my own space. And that's one of the things that sometimes keeps us from God, is we think, I'm going to have to give up so much. I've talked to many people. I say, what keeps you from coming to God? They're like, I'm just not ready to give it all up. Now, here's what I found after over 2 decades of following Jesus, is that, first of all, you don't have to give up everything. Second of all, the things that he asks you to give up, watch this. He asks you to give up something, he replaces it with something that's better. I'm going to say that again. Whatever he asks you to give up, he will replace it with something that's better. For instance, he will replace your bad moods, and everybody has bad moods sometimes. Can we all agree to that? Okay. And he'll replace those bad moods. Oh, excuse me. Those are habits. I learn how to read. He'll replace your bad habits with good habits. These are habits you actually want. He'll give you the power to overcome your habits, those things you're struggling to change in your life, into good habits as much as you'll let him. It is a process. It takes time. He'll help you, replace some unhealthy relationships with some healthier relationships. How does he do that? Well, sometimes he'll take an unhealthy marriage or an unhealthy boyfriend-girlfriend relationship or unhealthy relationship with you and your kid. And if both of you are willing to cooperate with him, he'll start to bring some health into that relationship. Other times, he'll replace it with even healthier relationships. I'm not saying if you're married, he's going to replace your marriage. If you're married, you're stuck. Okay, so, but no worries, you get Jesus, he'll help you. I've been married 21 years, he's helped me a ton. He'll replace your bad moods with what kind of moods? Come on, better moods. What am I talking about? There's times I'm discouraged, I'm filled with discouragement, and then he'll replace it with encouragement. He loves to do that. There are times when you feel kind of like, you know, gosh, I'm just stressed, I'm worried. And he'll fill you with his peace. Now listen, this is not the peace that you think comes from Pocololo. Okay? You're like, oh no, I get my own peace. You're laughing too much like you can relate to that. This is God's peace. Watch this. It's not a drug-induced peace. It's peace that only can come from God, not from relaxation techniques. He loves to do this. And it's peace. Let me tell you, this peace is unreal. Like, you can be in the midst of a major problem, you're like, why do I have peace inside? Because it comes from God and His Spirit living in you. He can take times when you're lonely, and let's just be honest, some of us during this holiday season have been pretty lonely. You may be surrounded by people, but you're feeling lonely. You know exactly who I'm talking about. And you miss your old boyfriend, or you miss that person who passed away, or you want to be dating and you're not, and you're lonely. And he'll replace that loneliness with godly friends if you let him. How? Come to God daily, come to church weekly. And then there are times that we're hurting, our heart is hurting because we've been betrayed, people have wronged us, and he wants to bring his healing to our emotions and our heart and our soul. And let me just tell you this. There are some areas that we get hurt inside that only Jesus can heal. And so he loves to do that. And then lastly, sometimes we're just angry. We're frustrated. There's a relationship or a person that is just so annoying and you know who they are. You either work with them or you live with them. If they're sitting next to you, do not look at them right now. Don't, right here. Eyes forward, okay? And just be honest, you've been really frustrated and you're exhausted from that. And I want to tell you, he will give you the power to forgive them again. How many times you've had to forgive them? You come to him, you come to church weekly, he'll give you the power to choose to forgive them again. And so it's just a much better life with God than without. I've lived both ways. It's much better. The Bible says it this way. Jesus included everyone in his death, so everyone, all of you, could be included in his life. Say it with me. A far better life than people lived on their own without God. So you come to God daily. You come to church weekly. You have a relationship with him. And he will lead you into a far better life. Is it a perfect life? No. Is it free from problems? No. But is he with you in those problems? Yes. And I'd like you to hear the story of a woman in our church and how she didn't have a relationship with God. You're going to hear that. And then I want you to hear what happened to her once she began a relationship with Jesus and she started to come to him daily and she started to come to church weekly. So watch this.
They were very bad, very traumatic things that happened to my brothers, my little brothers and my little sister and myself. And we were told as children that if we told anyone that my father would harm one of us to the other, because our bond was so close to each other that we had a secret that we kept between the four of us. And it may sound kind of crazy, but the bond came from the abuse. And because no one else knew but us, and we were so afraid and scared to tell anyone because we wanted to protect each other. Our bond was so strong, and we had so much love for each other that we didn't say anything to anybody for a very long time. It just continued as we got older. My father abused us sexually. He abused us emotionally, physically, and mentally. And it was hard. For a long time after that, even as an adult, I had nightmares. I went to counseling. I didn't understand. And I was old enough at 15 that I finally told my Aunt Donna, which was my dad's sister, what was going on. And she took me to the prosecuting attorney's office, and she had me to tell him what had happened. So they filed charges against him. By the time we got into the room where they had us to wait, by the time we all got seated, the jury had already reached a decision. It took them 8 minutes. And they found him guilty. And they sentenced him to 60 years with no parole. And when she said my name, she said, Marcia. And I said, Aunt Donna. I said, something's wrong, isn't there? And she said, yes. And I said, it's my brother, isn't it? And she said, yes. And I said, he's dead, isn't he? She said, yes. I could hear this wailing, and I didn't know where it was coming from. And the room just started to spin. And then I realized that it was coming from me. I couldn't believe that one of the persons that I loved most in the whole world was gone. At that moment, I wanted to die too. I didn't want to be here anymore. And I almost took my own life after that. My brother Michael jumped off of a bridge. He committed suicide. He couldn't live with all the things that had gone wrong. You know, all the things that my dad had done to him. He couldn't live with it. It was killing him inside. And at that moment, I had so much hate in my heart, even more than I had before. So much hate for my dad. I can remember writing him a letter and telling him that the blood of my brother is on your hands. You know, I knew that I would never forgive him. It just hurt so bad. You know, my brother was gone. I'd never see him again. I'd never get to see his smile again. Never get to touch him again. He was gone. And I just had so much hatred. And for some reason, you know, God got me. I didn't realize it at the time, but I made it through that and still made some bad choices, bad decisions after that. I didn't have God in my life. I knew he was there. I always knew he was there, but I didn't have a relationship with him. I was doing things on my own. I wasn't asking for God's help or guiding him. I didn't understand why a God who loved us would let things like this happen to us, you know.
It feels like a tear in my heart, like a part of me missing, and I just can't feel it. I've tried and I've tried, and I've tried
tears on my face, I can't take it. If lonely's a taste, then it's all that I'm tasting. Do you hear my cry? I cry. Myself, put your arms around me, put your arms around me, let your love surround me. I am lost, I am lost. If I ain't got you, yeah, if I ain't got you, I ain't got nothing at all.
gon' take, what it gon' be. I don't even know, I don't even know. But I'm lonely, lonely. Feel like I don't even know me. Feels like I don't even know me. I don't even know me.
And I felt lonely and lost still. And I was talking to her about it, and she said, you know, I'll never forget this. She said, there is the funniest. She said, there is the funniest holy preacher you'll ever hear. And she said, just try it. Just try it one time. And I waited a little while, and then I went. And she, as soon as I went, that first service, I'll never forget it. During the worship part of service, when we were singing, I just felt this release, like I was where I belonged. Every time that I go, in the mornings before I go to church, I always ask God to open my ears and to my heart to what He wants me to hear. It's really funny, and I still don't know who this pastor is, but he was from another church off island. He gave the sermon, and at the end of the sermon he said, some of us were raised with good parents and some of us were raised with not so good parents, and somebody out there needs to forgive their parent. And I was like, and I thought, I began to think about it, and he said, you need to pray for forgiveness for your parent. And I thought, wow, this is crazy. But I knew he was talking to me. I knew that God was talking to me, that he was sending me a message. So I started to pray. Every day I started to pray for my dad. First, I began to pray to help me to forgive him. And then I prayed that he would have a relationship with God, that he would understand that what he did was wrong. He had written me letters through the years. And every time I would read the letters, I would just get so angry and I'd put them away. All I could see was the negative. I never was able to see the positive in it until I began to pray. And the more I began to pray, the easier it my heart felt, the lighter I felt. And then I took out the letters again and I started to read the letters. And in the letters, my dad was actually telling me that he was sorry that he hurt me, that he was sick, and that he didn't know who God was, but he did now, and that he had asked God to forgive him, and he wanted me to forgive. He was asking for my forgiveness. So there's this big glass window where I could see him walk through, and I finally saw him walk through, and then they let me back. And when I got back there, it took me a while to actually get him to talk to me. He was weeping. He was just crying for like maybe 15, 20 minutes, just weeping and crying. And I was calling out to him, Dad, please, you know, look at me, you know. And finally he looked at me, and I could see that my prayers had been answered, that he had changed, that God had changed him. He wasn't the man he used to be. It's so funny. For 30 years he had been in prison. And after all the praying I was doing for him and for me, for me to forgive him and for him to find Christ, I realized not only had he been in prison for 30 years, but I too had been in prison. And I was set free. God lifted those chains of hatred from my heart and he replaced it with love. Only God can do that. Only God can give you that peace, that forgiveness. And when you let go of it, it's like so much weight is lifted from your heart and your soul, and you feel so much lighter. Through this journey with Christ, this journey of forgiveness, I've learned that I don't have anything to be ashamed of. Your heart can let go, and you can be free. You can forgive. You can be healed by God's love. If God can forgive us, we can forgive.
Would you join me in thanking Marcia for sharing her story? Wasn't that amazing? Amazing. Marcia told me that she said, "Dave, I truly have zero hate towards my dad." And her mom passed away recently, and she said, "I'm so glad I have a genuine relationship with my dad because now I have a parent in my life." And I was like, man, only Jesus can give us a far better life. And some of you came to Christmas service today, and there's been some joy missing in your life because you, like Marcia, have a relationship that you've been having some struggles in. And maybe the relational conflicts have been with your boyfriend. Maybe it's been with your girlfriend. For some of you, it's with your spouse or your son or daughter. Maybe it's with a friend or a coworker. And that relationship has had so much relational struggle that you've had times where you think there's just no hope for this relationship to get better. And if that's you, I just wonder how much Jesus could improve that relationship over time if you made contact with that person, if you can, and you said these two words, look up on the screen. If you said, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for what I did." For some of you, "I'm sorry for being a jerk." You don't have to say you're sorry, but I need to say, "I am so sorry." Friends, I've seen these two words cause people to rip up divorce papers. I've seen people humbly say these words, and it's reunited families. It's brought friendships back together. It's healed relationship between boyfriend and girlfriend. These words are powerful. And so let me ask you this, at all of our locations, is there anybody you might need to say these two words to this week? If so, do it humbly. Ask God to help you. And just have the courage and the humility to do so. I think you'll find that it could be the first step towards that relationship getting better. For others of you here, you've been struggling lately with just feeling shame, feeling guilty, feeling regret. And for some of you, it's because your pace of life is just out of control. You're overscheduled and you know it. And so you're exhausted, you've been on edge. For others of you, your spending is out of control. And you're like, man, it's holiday season and my spending was out of control before this season. For some of you, your eating's out of control or your drinking's out of control. And everyone around you knows it and they're worried about you. And you know it too. You know it's out of control. And you've tried to get it in control on your own strength, but you haven't been successful. And if that's you, I would encourage you to pray these words over this holiday season, every day throughout the day. You just say, "Jesus, help me. Help me. Give me your strength to do what I can't get in control on my own strength. God, give me your power to get in control what's out of control in my life." And He will gladly supply you the people and the power to help you get in control what's out of control. It takes effort. It takes Christ, but it can work. So you pray, "Help me." And there is a series that we mentioned earlier that I think you'll find very helpful. It's called Simplify. And we want to help you get off to a good start in the new year. And so I encourage you to join us for that the first part of this year. Others of you are sitting there today and your heart's been hurting. Your heart's been broken. For some of you, it's because you thought you'd be remarried by now. You're like, man, why? Others of you, you've never been married, and you're like, man, I'm like in my 30s, and I'm still not married. I thought I'd be married by now. And you're lonely, and your heart's been hurting because of that. For others of you, you lost a loved one, and you know when you're at the family gathering that there's going to be an empty chair that they're not sitting in because they passed away. And that just grieves you, and it should. It's understandable. And if that's you, if your heart is hurting right now, I encourage you over this holiday season, pray these two words. You just say, God, comfort me. I need your comfort. God wants to comfort you. Psalms 34 says he's close to you when you're brokenhearted, and he'll save you when you're crushed in spirit. So you just say, God, comfort me through the different ways you do that, through your word, through your presence, your promises, your people. Comfort me, God, and he will dish it out throughout this holiday season if you ask him. Others of you, your life is going good. You're like, Dave, honestly, my life is pretty good. And there are many of you here because God loves to allow us seasons of peace. And if that's you, I encourage you just to pray these words. God, thank you every day, throughout the day. God, thank you for my health. Thank you that I get to have a relationship with you. Thank you that you're my friend. Thank you for the churches you've created on this island. Thank you for my relationships I have. Thank you, I have a job. Just thank you, God. Thank you. I tell you, that can change your perspective during the holidays. And then others of you here, maybe you've never had a relationship with God. You might have even come to church for years. And you know what religion is about, but you're not really attracted to that. And I certainly understand that. But you keep hearing that God wants a relationship with you. And you're like, what's that all about? If that's you, you've never had a relationship. Not religion. Religion will mess you up, man. Jesus doesn't want a religion with you. He wants a relationship. He wants to be your heavenly, divine Father. And he's great at it. And if that's you, why don't you pray this prayer? Jesus, save me. Save me. Biblically, you only got to pray it once. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer where you can pray that today. So take a look up on the screen. Which of these are you going to pray this season? For some of you, right when I said it, you're like, oh, that's me. I'm going to pray that. I would encourage you, beyond today, just talk to him throughout the day and just say, God, help me. Thank you. Comfort me. Whatever it is. Now our worship team is going to come up and they're going to sing a song. This song is called, Oh, Come to the Altar. You say, Dave, what's an altar? An altar ultimately represents Jesus. So as they sing, Oh, Come to the Altar, what God is saying through this song is, he's saying, come to me. Jesus is saying, come to me. That's why I came over 2,000 years ago to this earth. That's what Christmas is all about, is me coming to you and you coming to me. And so as they sing this song, I want to encourage you to just come to him. Give him your heart. Whether you're Christian or non-Christian, you come to him right now and give him everything you got because he's waiting for you. Come home for Christmas.
Are you hurting, broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Behind your regrets and mistakes, come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's altar.
在我肩膀，心哈利路亚 ，Christ is risen，
bow down before。
If you were in her shoes, it would take a lot of courage to share that kind of story. She'd never danced before, and wasn't she outstanding? Would you just once again show your appreciation? So awesome. If you would, at all of our locations, would you bow your heads with me, please? And if you don't mind, I want to just ask you and encourage you to close your eyes, just so that we can remove the distraction around us and talk to God right now. Maybe if you've got some distraction, just close your eyes and join us in prayer. You know, as your heads are bowed, I know that for some of you today, you feel like God's been speaking directly to you through this service, and He has. It is no accident that you're here today, and He's using us to communicate to you. And what He wants to say to you is He wants a relationship with you, and He wants you to come home for Christmas. And I'll lead you in a prayer so that you can begin that relationship with Him in a few moments. Others of you here, many of you, you've already had a relationship with Jesus, but for whatever reason, and this happens to all of us, you've drifted from Him, and you haven't been as close to Him. And He's calling you home today. No shame, no shame. There's no condemnation for you in Christ, just no shame. Come home to Him today, because He's been waiting for you. And so in just a moment here, I'm going to ask at all of our locations for you, especially those of you who've never begun a relationship with Jesus, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand up. Or maybe you've drifted and you're coming home. I want you to just lift your hand up in a few moments here when I instruct you to. And the Bible says that it's helpful for us to acknowledge to God that we want Him. And so when you lift your hand, you're basically going to be saying, Jesus, I'm coming home for Christmas. I want a relationship with You. So at all of our locations, if you'd like to begin a relationship with Jesus, or you'd like to come home to Him and renew your relationship, go ahead without hesitation or shame and just lift your hand up. Go ahead and just lift it up. And that's your way of saying, God, I want a relationship with You. At all of our locations, let God see your hands. This is for you and Him. And there's so many hands up in Theater 4. God's seeing your hands and your heart, your humble heart, to lift your hand up. Good job. You can put your hands down. I'm going to lead you in a Christmas prayer. And I want you to just say these words with me out loud, if you don't mind. Just pray this with me. Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus, to pay for my sins so I can have a relationship with You. Please forgive me for my sins. Fill me with Your Spirit. Be my Lord and Savior, my life leader. I'm coming home today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. Can you congratulate the hundreds and hundreds who just came home for Christmas? Good job, you guys. Well done. Well done. You know, for those of you who began a relationship with Jesus, we have a gift for you. As you leave, it's a little tote bag here that is filled with materials to help you in your next step with Jesus. You can find this at our Next Step tent, which is outside by the Kid Zone entrance. So when you exit the building, you'll see a white tent, and you can go there and pick up this gift from us to you. I think the most important thing you can do is what we talk about. Just come to God daily and come to church weekly. And that will help you in your relationship with Jesus. And we certainly invite you to our Michael Jr. service that's going to be on New Year's Day. Now, I know on New Year's Day, a lot of people skip church, but that's not you. That is not you. I know on New Year's Day, even if you're up all night, you'll still be here on that Sunday. And so I hope you can join us at either of our locations here in Kailua. The Michael Jr. message is we're going to bring in the new year with some laughs and an inspirational message. And then we'll launch Simplify the week after that. And so I just want to encourage you to do that. And let me just wrap up and say we're going to end the service here. But from our amazing team of volunteers and leaders, we just want to say to you, Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us. So have a great Christmas. God bless you.
Come to the altar, the Father's arms are